Welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
And I'm really excited for tonight. We have a great night ahead of us. So we have been, our theme, our vision for church for this year was "This is our Bible." And so we've been going through lately a series that what the Bible says about blank. And we've gone through some great, we've had some great weeks, we've had some great words. And tonight we're really excited to talk about what the Bible says about work and career. We all know in the room that this is such an important part of each one of our lives, and we're really excited to get into it tonight and to really unpack it. We've got a great panel, and they're going to share their experiences, their story, and how God has spoken through them. Like I said, I lead our young adults, but that's not my only job. I am a corporate girly at heart. I know I don't look it, but you know, every now and then I'll get my suit on and I'll, go to work and work from the office, and it's a great time. I'm one of those people who in 3 years has never figured out how to fully explain what I do for work. So my brief kind of intro is I'm a data analyst, which means I'm a massive nerd. And I love spreadsheets. I love all things formulas in spreadsheets. And I'm also a consultant. And if you ever have known someone that's a consultant, you would know they don't know how to explain what they do. I'm really good at making pretty presentations. I can align the shapes really well in a presentation and all the different things, and they look great. It's amazing. But no, I'm really passionate about how God can use us in our careers and in our workplaces. It's a really important topic that not only do we know how to connect and be used by God on a Sunday or with our friends or with our family, but actually that we are outworking the plans of God for our life in our workplaces and in our careers. Work isn't just some social construct that we do, that we, you know, earn some money, but we are actually designed by God to work. If you've ever pictured the Garden of Eden and they're just chilling and, you know, they're eating fruit, they're having a great time, they're just loving life, there actually was work before the fall. So God put Adam and Eve into the garden and said to Adam, "You will work and take care of the field of the garden of that I have given you." We are designed by, we're in the likeness of God, and we have been designed to work, to do something useful with the gifts that God has put in each and every one of our lives. And so now that we know we're designed to work, which I think, you know, all of us are pretty on top of, you know, we would all work at some point in our lives, if not for most of it. The question is what we do for work and how we work. There's two big questions. And I don't know, is there anyone in the room who knew from a really young age what they were going to be? Or what follower, always wanted to be a doctor? Anyone else really knew young age and that's what you ended up doing? I can't fully see people at the back, but I was not one of those people. I did not grow up thinking I want to do spreadsheets and presentations. I basically went through phase after phase of like, I want to be an inventor. I want to be a cake decorator. That one lasted a long time. I can still make great cakes. Come see me afterwards. And I went time and time again, and I just changed all throughout high school what I wanted to do. And then I remember being 18, I deferred uni, and I was like, God, you're meant to tell me what to do. If I want to do something for you, if I want to do something for your purpose, surely you're going to tell me what that is. Surely you're going to give me, you know, the job, the exact place, time, whatnot. And I don't know if you've ever asked God a direct question like that, but you often don't get a direct answer per se. And I loved what Talia said a few weeks ago, and she said that our purpose is to know God and make him known. And that was God's kind of answer to me at the time. It was like not about what I was doing at that time, but it was about how I was doing it, how I was bringing God into my world, how I was outworking the character of God in my workplace at the time. And it's just one of those things that tonight we really want to talk about not only what you do for work. We do believe that there, you know, there's an assignment on our lives, that there are people that are called to certain jobs and workplaces and industries. But more than that, there is a how we work. There is a how we work. There's, are we working with all our heart as if working for the Lord and not for human masters, the Bible says? Are we working and are we being ambassadors for Christ in our workplaces, showing the nature and the love of God to people? You know, the Bible even talks about, are we working so that we have money to give to those in need? Are we being a part of caring for our family and those in our community that are in need? Yeah. But tonight, not only do we want to unpack that and what the Bible says, but we want to hear from some great people that actually walk this out day by day. And we've got an amazing panel. We're going to get them up in a second. But can I just say, I really have faith for what God wants to do tonight. I really have faith that people are going to walk away encouraged, that if you don't know what the purpose is on your work or your job, or you're still figuring that all out, maybe you've been in your job 10, 15 years, but there's going to be a renewed purpose in bringing God into your workplace. There's going to be a renewed purpose in how you work and how you operate. And I'm really believing that for tonight, that people are going to walk away with such encouragement at what they do on a weekly basis. So we're going to get our amazing panel up now. Can we stand to our feet and can we welcome up our amazing panel? We have Oi, Lola, Hannah and Matt. Welcome, welcome. Come take a seat. These guys are amazing. Oh, come on, give them another clap. Go team, you can take your seats. Thanks guys, appreciate the energy. That was a great welcome. Well deserved for each of you, I'm sure. So these three people are absolutely amazing, can I just say. I have spoken to them in the last week and then before that much about their career and their journey, and they have so much wisdom to share. We're going to get straight into it because we want to hear from them. But can I just say, these are the people that if you want to model your career and how to do it in a godly way, these are the people that you want to talk to. They are absolutely killing it. We're very excited. You guys excited? You ready to go? Great. Love it. We're here for it. All right, Hannah, you have the microphone. Tell us, what has your career, what do you do now and what has your journey been to get there?
So I'm a PhD student and I have no idea how I got here. I'm in the field of health psychology or psycho-oncology, so looking at cancer research. And my job is basically about the relationship between physical and mental health and trying to help understand the experiences and help people who have gone through some pretty significant health issues or people who are caring for someone with health issues. And I stand by the fact that I don't know how I got here.
I love it. I love it. The first time I hung out with Hannah, I literally was like, okay, so why this PhD? And she was like, I don't know. We got here. God got us here. It's all good. Hannah, are you a planner by nature? You give me planner vibes.
A little bit.
Love it. Okay, so in the journey of being a planner, having vision for your career, and then balancing letting God take care of that, you've ended up somewhere you didn't think you'd be. Tell us, what was that journey like?
I think one of the biggest lessons I've learned is to hold my plans for my future with a loose grip. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's plans that prevail. And I have lived that somewhat painfully at times. It's like the Message version says it, we humans keep brainstorming options and plans, but it's God's purpose that prevails. And I think in high school, I remember I kind of growing up in church, you hear a lot of stuff about, you know, the importance of calling and purpose, which is great. But I think that I then kind of took that of you're unspiritual if you don't have a specific plan for what your life looks like and what your career looks like. Which isn't true. I don't think that, you know, David planned on being a king when he was out caring for a flock of sheep. I don't think Moses planned on going and freeing a whole nation when he was hiding in the wilderness after murdering someone. Like, I don't think that that was planned. But I, however, thought that I had to plan and that I needed to, you know, if I just sought God more, I did this, I did that. So then I went to like hyper mode of just plan and fixate and then carried that through a lot of undergrad and uni and just poured so much energy and effort into making my plans for my life work, which was just exhausting, frankly. And I mean, I remember I got to this point where I was doing a devotional time and got to Jeremiah 29:11, kind of, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And I just heard like the tender but somewhat firm voice of God say, I know you don't. I know the plans, and I'm not actually going to tell you the details of those plans. Couple reasons. One, because if I told you every single detail, you'd probably run away scared. Two, because you try and do it in your own strength, and it would be a burden that I never meant for you to carry. But then also, three, you'd have no reason to trust me in this And I long for you to trust me because I long for intimacy with you and I long to partner with you in this way. So like almost I'm going to lovingly withhold those details from you and just trust that, like, have you know that they are plans for good, that they are plans for hope and a future, but it's on a need-to-know basis and you don't need to know those details. So I think kind of, the point that I'm at now is kind of having a rough idea of where I'm at, but like I hate to admit it, but I actually don't know the details of what's going to happen after this PhD. I've got a rough idea of the next 3 to 4 years, which is great, but I don't know what comes next, and that's okay because he's God and I'm not. And just getting rid of all those self-imposed deadlines of this, that just slowing down, being like, I don't know, but I'm going to hold on to the hand of my shepherd with a firm grip. And I'm going to hold on to my plans with a loose grip.
I love that. That's amazing. It's like such, I'm sure, such a comfort for so many in the room. I remember being in that exact spot and I'm like, I have no idea what you want to do, God, but the trust is the key. And that's awesome. That's so cool. Oi Lola, would you give us the intro of your career so far and where you're at now? This is a journey and it's a great journey.
It is a journey. I am a writer and I have a business called Phrase with Purpose, and I help purpose-driven businesses sew or grow their business with words rooted in empathy. They're the words from my website. I am also, I work part-time at a writer's studio alongside other writers, and my past life was as a consultant at KPMG, and I worked there for 8 years. And like Jazz, when people would ask me what I did, I didn't know how to explain it. But I thought that I would be in corporate for a very long time. It was just what made sense to me. It was what my parents had done. And God had other plans. And like Hannah said, like Proverbs 19:21, like many a plans in a person's heart, but it's God's purpose that prevails. And I've really seen that come to life in my own journey. And so I was at KPMG for quite a while, and about 5 years into it, I had enough. Like, I just wanted to leave. And I was like, God, I want to get out of here. And he said, not yet. And I'm like, all right. So, okay. So I stuck around just kept doing what I was doing, showing up each day. And in December 2017, my high school friend, who I hadn't talked to in years, sent me this Facebook message. And she was like, hey, oi, Lola, this might sound weird, but I had a dream about you last night. Yeah.
Not weird at all.
No. And in the dream, you told me that you had just quit your job. And I said to you, there's nothing better than being exactly where God wants you to be. And I was like, oh, great. That's the confirmation that I get to leave. And then God was like, not yet. And so I was like, okay. So I stayed. And then along, like, throughout this journey, I was having these faith conversations with my boss. And she just kept asking me about my faith and what I believe and, what Jesus had done for me and what it meant to do life with him. And then Easter 2019, she came with me to church. And she rededicated her life to Christ that day. And then shortly after, I was like, all right. I heard the green light from God. And he's like, yeah, you can go now. I was like, yes. So I quit in May 2019. And I had no plan. I just knew I had to leave. I didn't have a job lined up or anything. I was like, I want to go into not-for-profit and do something purpose-driven. That didn't happen. And what did happen was my other boss had left and he wanted me to help him write tenders for his new company, which is a fintech company. And I kept saying no and no and no, I didn't want to do it. And then I eventually said, yes, I'll do it on a contract basis. So I did it. I helped them win a really big job. And I was like, oh, you can write for a living. This is cool. I kind of parked it, didn't do anything with it. And then long story short, I went through a whole health journey and I had a hiatus in my career and I actually couldn't work for 6 months. And that was hard, being someone who is very independent and highly capable. But then I got to a point in July 2020 and that was my turning point. And I woke up one day and I heard Holy Spirit say, I want you to start a business where you write for people and you help them build their business through words. So I was like, well, I didn't know you could do that. And I went online and I searched and I found out that copywriting is what it's called. And I thought that was to do with law. Wow. And so I did research and I did it like I wanted to start a website. And the same day that I had that conversation with the Holy Spirit, Tam Henry calls me and she's like, I don't know if you write like words for people's websites, but I have this website and I was wondering if I could pay you to write some words for it. And I said, funnily enough, I just had a conversation with the Holy Spirit today and it sounds like this is my confirmation. And so that was my journey.
Wow, that was a journey, and thank you for that. That's incredible. And who is thankful for those friends that like listen to the voice of God and like give the confirmations we need, right? That's really cool. And I love that story you shared about your boss that you were working with coming on the Easter service. I think that's like seeing the journey of trusting God and then seeing the kind of higher purpose of staying and listening to that voice. In a professional services kind of space where it's, I guess, seemingly becoming more secular, more, you know, difficult to share your faith or talk about that. Can you tell us what your experience was being an ambassador for Christ in those places?
Yeah, it was filled with a lot of awkward moments and some wins too. I mean, from the moment I started, people could tell I was different. You know, I wear my cross and had a cross tattoo and people would ask me about that. And so it started some great conversations. It also shut down a lot of conversations too. But it was like, you know what, my identity is in Christ. I'm not here to win the approval of man, Galatians 1:10. It was like, it was interesting because in professional services, you know, like especially in finance, there's this, just this culture, there's a lot of partying, especially then. I don't know, they don't allow as much now as they did back then, but people got loose. And people would notice that I wasn't drinking as much as they were. And one of my colleagues, he was actually one of my favourite colleagues, he'd made it his personal mission to corrupt me. Usually when we were out for drinks, he would just, you know, yeah, just trying to like give me more and more and just never worked and he never succeeded. But it was part of the reason why I had these faith conversations with my boss, because she said she would watch me and how I behaved and how I spoke relative to other people. And, you know, we had this conversation that I vividly remember where she said to me, I've watched you over the years and I have seen at no point you compromise your values or your convictions. And I was like, I didn't even notice that you noticed that. I didn't either. And so it was just simply about just living a life that glorified God and staying true to who I was and not trying to please other people, but ultimately looking to God and his approval above anyone else's. And it, like I said, it was awkward sometimes. Sometimes I was left out of certain things and it was hard, but in the end it was worth it because my boss rededicated her life to Christ. And you just don't know who's watching you, who's listening to you, and the impact that you're having, the seeds that you're sowing. And even though you might not be the very, like the person to lead them to Christ, you don't know who else God will bring into their lives from the seed that you have sown that will bring them home into his arms. So, yeah.
That's so special and such an encouragement. That's really cool to hear that. So good. Matt, we'll pass the mic to you.
Hello.
Tell us, what do you do and how did you get here?
That's a great question. I work for the government, so I work, it makes me sound like a spy. I'm not a spy. I'm a primary school teacher. The government sector.
Bit of a contrast.
Yeah. I've been doing it, gosh, for about 17 years now, which, like, I used to, like, I thought until recently, like, I started to go to, like, I kept going to like early career teacher meetings, then I realised that I definitely wasn't an early career anymore, so I stopped going. But yeah, so I've been doing that mainly in southwestern Sydney, so a really ethnically and economically diverse part of Sydney. And then about 8 years ago, I took on an assistant principal role in different schools, so worked around Liverpool, Villawood, Mount Pritchard, and also more recently out near our southwest campus, so at a place called Blairmount Public School. It's really, really cool. It's really fun. Also, before that, I did like a master's down in Melbourne in instructional leadership. So it's basically looking at how do you help teachers become better and also do a better job. And that's kind of the majority of what I do at the moment is helping to mentor teachers and making sure that every single classroom in the school that I work in, students in that classroom have access to the best possible teachers and educational opportunities. Yeah. Because for me, like, being a parent, like, really changed me in ways that I wasn't expecting. And one of those was I always ask myself after every lesson that I teach, would I be okay for Harper or Beatrix to sit through that lesson?
Wow.
And if the answer, some days you go, oh my gosh, we're just getting to recess. But I also think it's a really good question to ask, because why do we accept subpar teaching and education for everyone else's kids? And so my life was absolutely changed in public schools. I had a teacher in year three called Miss Jones, who in this little country town in the middle of England. Then we moved to Australia, went to a local, high school, and it was, for me, a really important place because home was pretty chaotic. So I love school. I love, like, the routine. I love the structure. I love the teachers. I learned a lot from the really good ones and also the really atrocious ones. And then I, in year 11 English class, I met a girl called Aziza, who... That definitely changed my life.
Aziza is his wife.
That's
for those
right.
That don't know.
Just clarify that. So my life has been changed by. I'm really proud to be part of public education because I think that it's an incredible opportunity to serve our community. And yes, I for a couple of years I worked in the independent sector, which, to be honest, it does pay better. But for me, I feel this real calling to to serve some of our communities. And really make a difference. I mean, out in a place called St Andrews, so near southwest Sydney, it's pretty, it's a wonderfully diverse community. But I've done a lot of home visits there, and it would really shock you some of the places that kids go home to. And it's just not fair. And so if we can, at the school that I work at, if we can play a small part in changing that, then yeah.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. I love your heart behind it. That's really cool. That's awesome. And can you tell us, for the people that don't know, how long have you been at Horizon Church for?
Oh, yeah. 25 years, I think.
Long time. Absolute
maybe
veteran.
A little bit less.
Yeah.
But I this church has changed my life. Like, it really has. I know many years ago getting to serve with Pastor Tim and Brendan and all of these incredible people. Like, I've got relationships here that have really sustained me for that time, and I encountered Jesus here. I was discipled here. I continue to be discipled. So this place is not just like something else we try and fit into our week.
Yeah.
It's actually the thing that fuels everything else.
Yeah.
And our relationship with Jesus, for our family, for our girls. It's not, like I said, it's not just like we try and squeeze in on a Sunday because we've got a bit of space. We don't. And to be honest, there's other things that we could all be doing, but we all decide to come to church because it's a place that will transform you.
Yeah.
So a long time.
Yeah, love it, love it. And so being, like, you run with Aziza, your wife, our online campus, you've been involved for many years, but you also have this great passion and purpose in your career, in your week. So tell us, I guess you've got this God passion here, but you're also committing time to serving, to being a part of our church. How are they intertwined, and why do you kind of have that commitment and conviction to serve?
Yeah, that's a question that has taken me a really long time to try and work out. And just because I love a show of hands because I'm a teacher. And for those people that, is there anyone that doesn't work or doesn't receive a wage from church? Sounds like an obvious question. So pretty much everybody. And while it is an incredible privilege, I mean, if you're on staff at church, I applaud you, I commend you, we love you, thank you for everything that you do. But the vast majority of people don't have that. And the vast majority of people are called to make a difference in their lives outside of Sunday. And so for me, it's something which I think is so important. And I really wrestled with that for a long time. Like I thought, I'm going to be in like ministry and then I'm going to pursue this and then I'd get a promotion at work. And I thought, oh no, like I felt like I was being disloyal to each of those things. But it wasn't until my understanding of what ministry was, and also to be honest, I matured a little bit in that understanding, and I realized, hang on a second, ministry is actually about making a difference and seeing people encounter Jesus.
Yeah.
I just happen to do that on Monday to Friday at a school that's in southwestern Sydney.
Yeah.
Or I just happen to do that 24 hours a day with two crazy children that I love more than anything itself. But the way I do it just looks a little bit different. And the way that you do it
love
looks
it.
Different. And it's no less, it's no better, it's no worse. And for me, I think actually stepping into that and going, okay, God, if I'm called to do this, then I've got to do it. I've got to do it well.
Yeah.
And I think as well, just another thing for those people that are considering a career or studying, like just be really good at what you do. Please be really good, because there's enough people that are not good and there's enough people that are just average and don't really care. And we know better, I think, as Christians, that God is calling us to make a difference in the areas that we are, that He has positioned us to.
Yeah.
So that may look like getting a trade. That may look like going to university. It may look like doing a certificate in ministry. It may look like doing an internship. Whatever that looks like we don't get a second go at this.
Yeah.
Like God is calling us to do something and do it really, really well. So be good, but also pray a lot and pray that God would give you the wisdom to know what it is to attack and go after and put your heart and your soul into. So I think those two things, because I definitely see a lot of people that, not a lot of people, sorry, let me rephrase that. I see some people that think that they don't need to do anything and they can pray about it, but actually God is calling it while you're praying about it and while He's revealing what He has for you, like go and like be good at something. And really invest yourself into it and really commit it to God because it matters. Sorry, that's a little bit of a rant.
No, I love that. I love that. It is biblical to work hard. Like I mentioned earlier, work hard, work, whatever you do, work with all your heart as if working for the Lord and not man. That's really powerful. It's awesome, Matt. I might jump back to Hannah. So keen to hear, in the journey of, you know, wrestling with surrendering to God and I'm sure having jobs along the way that you weren't sure were the plan, how did you commit those jobs in the in-between to God and glorify Him in that?
So for context, I have my first job that I had that I kept for about 7 or 8 years was gymnastics coaching. I was an elite rhythmic gymnast, and so I went,
amazing.
Thank you.
amazing.
So,
very left field.
Yeah, it is a bit left field actually. And even that, just seeing, going from coaching to psychology, it's actually like in hindsight, incredible how God prepared me through that job for where I am now. And I think a lot of it comes down to similar to what you were saying, Matt, but just having a spirit of excellence. I think that that makes such an enormous difference. I mean, in Colossians 3, 23 to 24, it says, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and the one you are truly serving is Christ. And I think that a spirit of excellence, when it's partnered with God, is bound to produce fruit.
Yeah.
And I mean, even just like I think for the in-between jobs, like I definitely had moments where I was like, okay, am I staying with gymnastics coaching? Am I continuing with psychology? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? Just in the midst of all trying to, you know, make my plans work. In the midst of that, I think just the mindset shift of, okay, God, I don't think this is long-term or this is an end game, but what would you have me learn for the season I'm in and for the job that I'm in? How would you have me prepare? Because we're constantly in a state of preparing for something. It's not a kind of stepped linear thing of, okay, you do this, you prepare for this, and then you get this job, and then you prepare for this. And it's like you're constantly preparing for the next thing and claiming promises in this area and preparing in this area. Yeah. Like there's always something going on. And so when you have that mindset of, okay, God, I'm going to prepare, I'm going to use the time that you've given me in this job, in this area, to prepare for what's to come, that sets you up so well for when you get to the next thing and you're like, you're ready for promotion basically any time. And I think about the story of Joseph as a really good example of this. I mean, Joseph, he's sold into slavery. He's in Potiphar's house serving as a slave for, I don't remember how many years, but a lot of years. And then he's thrown into prison and then before he's actually finally kind of promoted and presented in front of Pharaoh. And in all of that time, that spirit of excellence that he carried naturally elevated him and it naturally prepared him for when the next thing came.
Yeah.
And I mean, even I think one of the really cool things is that when Joseph first came into Potiphar's house as a slave, he would have been speaking in Hebrew. So, but by the time he's standing in front of Pharaoh, he's able to interpret Pharaoh's dream, speaking Egyptian, speaking directly to Pharaoh. When his brothers come to meet him, they don't recognize, not just because of the clothes he was wearing, but the way he was talking. And so sometimes it's like, you know, that time was a time for Joseph to be learning Egyptian, to be becoming fluent in something, to be having that spirit of excellence, to be showing God and glorifying God in those areas so that when promotion came, he was so ready, he was so on board, and he then was able to glorify God in that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that, like, gymnastics coaching to psychology may sound odd, but the overlaps are exceptional. And so then I actually found that, you know, I went to apply for my first full-time job, and even things with PhD student stuff have just, there's a lot of people who have been doing a lot of extracurricular activities, and I've been out here throwing some hoops and balls in a gym that no one knows. Awesome. And so just like, even that, it's easy to be like, oh, I got to be, you know, strategic and do this and do that and apply for this and like rig the system and get a great, but Joseph's CV wasn't the thing that prepared him for promotion. It was the way that he carried himself with excellence and the way that he committed whatever he was doing to glorifying God.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Unusual training grounds. It's like God uses everything, and even the things we don't think he's going to use, he uses for his purpose and his glory. It's awesome, Hannah. Well, we might jump. We're really keen to have some prayer and ministry time, and this has been awesome. But I just want to ask one more question to Oyelola just as we wrap up the night. And something that really stands out when I talk to you, and even, you know, what you already shared about how, you know, your conversations with the Holy Spirit is you walk with God in everything you do. It's so evident. So, and I think some of us, me also guilty of, can be very, what does my career do for God? What can I do for God? How can I work for God? Tell us about how you work with God and what that looks like.
Yeah. I, like you said before, work is part of our worship to God, and it's something that was there before the fall. You know, Adam was working in the Garden of Eden, and in Genesis 2:19, you see that God formed the animals, but then he brought them to Adam to name them. And you see right from the beginning, man and God working together, co-laboring. And I believe that's a picture of what God wants us to do. His heart is to be in a relationship with us in all areas of our lives, and that includes working with him and not just for him. And so that's something I'm really passionate about and have been, especially since I started a business, and not just saying, oh God, you know, I want to do this thing, can you bless it, but actually consulting him on all that I do. And for me, practically, it looks like seeking him each day. It says in Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so one of the things that I like to do is before, at the beginning of a work day, I like to have a business meeting with God. And I have a set of questions, yeah. So it's like he's the CEO, so I have a business meeting with him and I have a set of questions that I ask him. And I say, okay, Lord, what kind of person do you want me to be today? How do you want me to show up on social media? What client do you want me to pray for? What's in my calendar that shouldn't be there? Or what isn't in my calendar that should be there? And so I've got a whole list of questions that I go through with him in prayer, and that really directs the rest of my day. And usually I have a plan for my day and he just changes it all. Sometimes it's like, you know what, you're not working today, let's get away together. I'm like, all right, well, I got a lot to get done, but okay. But usually what happens is from that state of spending time with him and that intimacy, things just become so much easier. And I get to do it from a place of rest rather than a place of striving. Yeah. And there's that scripture in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, that in the Message translation, you've got to read it. It says like, Jesus says, come away with me, work with me, walk with me, learn how I do it, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And so that's something that's become my motto in working, is learning Jesus's unforced rhythms of grace. And when God told me that he wanted me to add a part-time job to my business, which to me made no sense because he'd already told me to focus on my business, I was like, okay, I trust you. And so it's been a really big journey of trust. In Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. And so it's been surrender and just allowing God to direct each day and to sit with him and let him be the Lord of my calendar, and literally walking with him through all of it. And it's just so much easier. And it also just takes the pressure off you, because it's like, God, you're showing up for me today. Like, this is not me. This is you. And it's really an honor to get to partner with him to build his kingdom here on earth. And our work is part of that. Like, we get to build God's kingdom on earth through the work that he has called each of us to do, whether it's a job that we love or it's a job that we hate. There's a reason and a purpose for which God has placed all of us where we are right now in this season. And it's about stewarding it faithfully. And like Hannah and Matt have said, it's doing it with a spirit of excellence and glorifying him.
It's so great. That is incredible intentionality. I'm sure all of us could take some of that into our day. And you know what? From talking to you, you hear the fruit of that. You hear the fruit of you walking with God and working with God, and it's absolutely incredible. You're amazing. You guys are amazing. That was really special. Can we give them a great round of applause? Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.